This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This show is sponsored by the Holiday Inn Express Hotel in Harlow, which has free Wi-Fi included, as well as conference rooms for hire.
You're listening to the West End Way podcast with Dave and X. Oi, oi!
Hello and welcome to the West End Way podcast with myself, Dave Walker, an ex-WHU employee. The season has come to an end and we finish the campaign with a defeat. But who cares? Surely it's all about the Conference League final now. However, we do talk about that performance, the Premier League predictions competition and the big game against Fiorentina before getting news from X and answering questions from patrons of the West Ham Way. X, today the season came to an end. Leicester had to win, and win they did. But they're now a Championship club, and we finished the season in 14th place. What did you make of the game?
I don't remember much about it, to be honest with you, mate. I mean, I wasn't drunk. I had a beer before, and I drove up there, so it wasn't alcohol. I mean, I've only literally just got back through the door this second to record this, so you'd think it'd be fresh in the memory. But to be honest with you, not a lot happened from a West Ham perspective. Obviously, it looked like a decent goal from Funes. I've not watched it back, but a decent goal from him, and you know, a couple of chances. Benrahma hit the post, and a few other chances. Ings fluffed a couple, and I think we played much better second half. First half was pretty poor and didn't really do anything. Second half we probably could have nicked a draw really, but the main thing for me in that game was to avoid any injuries, and from what I could see from that match there wasn't any picked up, so job done. The result was irrelevant. It was funny, a funny away day, because you know Leicester have that stupid goal music, they scored their second goal, they're playing it, and they're like dancing in our faces. We're thinking, you're going down. Like, why are you so smug about it, you idiots? And so, you know, every time West Ham had a shot that went wide or a shot that was on tight, we'd go, whether it went in or not. And then they were going, like, you know, we were singing about going to Prague and how they're going down and say hello to Millwall and all this stuff. And it was just good for the banter, really, more than anything. So yeah, the game was kind of irrelevant as such.
Well, you said off air, really, it was exactly that, wasn't it? It was just a good crack more than anything else.
Because yeah.
I think today we was in a luxurious position of having to go to a game and not really care about the result, because it didn't really mean anything to us, did it? It meant everything to them, like it did to Leeds last week. But for us, it was more a case of just going out and just enjoying ourselves, really, and trying to cause an upset. We didn't, because really and truly, it was another poor performance. But then you could argue, X, that a lot of the players will have one eye, if not both eyes, on that final. And they're not going to give 110% because they do want to avoid injuries. They just want to get that little bit of match sharpness to make sure they're fit for Prague, really and truly.
Yeah, I mean, ideally, you know, given the choice of West Ham winning or losing, I'd have chosen West Ham to win because with Wolves' score as well, we would have ended up 13th, you know, and a point behind Chelsea, a point behind, 2 points behind Palace to be 11th. So, you know, ideally, if you wanted to be selfish, it was, you know, you would have rather West Ham won, but in the grand scheme of things, you know, whilst the position in the league's worth about 2.2 million, it's not going to make or break our season next year. And obviously the Europa Conference final is by far more important than that. And so this game, yeah, was almost, like you said, like a free hit, really, a game that didn't really matter, that we can sit back and kind of watch from afar and try and see the you know, how the relegation twisted and turned. And it is, yeah, it's you know, pretty not far off what I predicted. West Ham to stay up and Leicester or Palace to go down. And Bob's your uncle, there you go. So it's a decent conclusion to the season for us. We were comfortably staying up. I mean, we obviously, it's only 4 points, but the fact that Leicester and Leeds and Southampton were so poor, you know, it was always going to take them an age to try and get up to the points tally that we'd amassed, probably since the Man United game, maybe even as far back as the Bournemouth game even. But it's nice to be able to start fresh now, finish this league campaign off, job done. Not job done because it's been an underachievement, but just write it off and go again next season. That's the thing at the end of the day. If West Ham win a conference, win the trophy, that's all that matters this season, and staying up, which we've done. So, you know, that's the state of play, I think.
Yeah, 100%. Do you agree with Moisey starting the players that you started?
It was a really difficult balancing act I thought he had here, because obviously, as I tried to stress in the early team news on Patreon, if you'd rested players from the Leeds game and then rested the same players for today's game, there was like a massive gap between the games. You know, you're talking like, you know, almost 3 weeks, I think, if it would have been from the semi-final in Alkmaar to the final in Prague. And that's a long time to have your players not playing any minutes. So I thought he had to get a balance right and sub them on and sub them off, as he did. There was three players I wouldn't have risked. He did risk one of them. That was Antonio. Personally, I wouldn't have played him at all, but he did, and I hope he's come through all right. I'm sure he has. I wouldn't have played Zuma, which he didn't do, which is good. And I probably wouldn't have played Rice, or if I didn't, I would have brought him on for like the last 5 minutes, just a sort of a bit of a cameo role. But you know, it is what it is. I think he probably wanted to be seen to put out a strong team for Everton, to show Everton fans that he was doing the best to help them. They stayed up, obviously, and yeah, it was a tough act for him, because obviously he wanted to win the game. You didn't want to get any injuries. He wanted to get the right fitness levels in for Prague. So yeah, I think he probably got it about right. I think I might have played Ogbonna over Agüero, maybe Emerson over Cresswell, maybe, and Lanzini over Rice, possibly, and Ings over Antonio. But you know, it's minor, really. At the end of the day, I would have, whatever I'd have done then, I would have subbed them off eventually. So it was kind of the same thing, just in reverse order.
Yeah. Has Pablo Fornals given a manager a headache for the Conference League final?
There's two positions, I think, that are under real dilemma now. Two positions. The rest, I think, picks itself, and they are the right back, Schaffel and Kerrer. It's really difficult in those two, because Schaffel's come back and he's very defensively solid, rarely makes a mistake. Kerrer does have a mistake in him, but he's so much better at getting forward and putting crosses in and set plays. Schaffel today really frustrated me again with weak crosses. I don't know why, and I've said it all season, and I thought he'd got a bit better at it, but he did it again today. Like floated crosses that just don't get anywhere. Whip it in with pace. I don't know how many times I have to say this, but he floats it in and it doesn't work, because it's either behind the player or the player's going to try and adjust their body or get power on it. So you've got that dilemma. And then the other one is Fornals and Benrahma. Now, you know, Benrahma got runner-up in the Hammer of the Year and has arguably been our most dangerous player all season. However, I think, although he did hit the post today, he's, at the moment, Fornals has scored, what, was it, 2 in, though he scored again. He obviously gets out. I can't remember if he scored against Leeds. He didn't, did he? But he scored against out. He played well against Leeds. And he scored today. And he scored against Bournemouth. And he offers you a bit more defensively than Benrahma does as well. So they would be the two positions that I would really, really be torn over. You've got the Prague factor for Shefout right back. And that's his home stadium there, in front of a home crowd or half home crowd or whatever. So they're the two positions for me. And I think at the moment, if I was to choose between the two, I'd go Kerrer right back. And I think that's going to be different to most people. I think the crossing is the main factor for me. And he's been more solid recently. And I think I would go Benrahma just over 4 nails, but I would be happy to make the substitution if Benrahma's not performing.
Yeah, it's always a lottery with Benny, isn't it? Because that's the thing, you know, if he turns up, he's unplayable. We've said this so many times. And if he doesn't, he's so frustrating because you know what he can do. And one thing I love about Benny, and I'll never knock him for it, is, and again, we've said this so many times in the podcast before as well, is there's nothing worse than a winger getting the ball and then just passing it back to central midfield. There's nothing worse for me. Yeah. It just makes him a complete non-entity. What is the point of playing? But with Benny, whilst he frustrates you, he'll always have a go. He gets the ball, he's got intent. You know, he'll always endeavour to try and make something happen. And yes, you can be frustrated by his end product and his decision-making, but ultimately, you know, if he gets it right, he is a class act. Mm. And I think that's the thing with Benny, isn't it? In this final, you're rolling the dice. What Benny am I going to get if I start him? And we can only hope that we get the top-level Benny that we all know and love. Because if we do, he'll rip him apart. Because, like I say, he's absolutely unplayable. But then with Pablo, see, again, X, when it comes to this final, I don't know how Moyes is going to approach it. I'm guessing he is going to, I don't want to use the word negative, but I think he's going to use a typical Moisey approach in the sense that typically he'll sit back and then hit on the counter against Fiorentina. And if so, there's an argument to say maybe 4 nails is better suited because he provides better cover for the left back than Benny would, you know?
My only thing with 4 nails is, as an Italian side, they're sort of more, obviously, stereotypically more disciplined defensively. I think 4 nails is probably a player that Italian defenders or Italian-based defenders are more used to dealing with. You know, he's like a creative, tight passing, can beat people on the run, but obviously he's not pacing to that direct with his running. Whereas Benrahma's obviously a bit more of your sort of traditional winger, where he's a bit more direct, takes people on, runs the channels and stuff. And I think that's probably not as... they're not as used to wingers like him as they would be for now. So that makes me think, give Benrahma a chance. But then you've also got to bring into account that this game could go to penalties. And Benrahma is your penalty taker at the moment. Him and Packett have been kind of alternating between them. So do you in some way start with 4 nails? Because you'd rather Benny was to take a penalty if it came to that and see how 4 nails gets on and then bring Benny on if 4 nails isn't having an impact. You know, you've got to factor that into it because the penalty takers, I mean, I wouldn't like to predict who they are now, but I would guess from the starting 11, I think your penalty takers would be Benrahma, Paqueta, probably Antonio, maybe Cresswell, and then probably, I think Bowen and Suchek, maybe, because I think Suchek's taking for his national team. So you've got about 5 or 6 there. And I don't know. I can't remember whether Funnels has taken penalties before for us. I don't remember him scoring one in open play, but I can't remember in penalty shootouts if he's taken any. But at the end of the day, that's a factor. So, and I think Benrahma in some ways could be better running at tired legs. So they're the two positions that I find really tough. Like I can't, if he was to go with either or, I would understand his decision. I think you've got to set them up to play with both those alternatives. And then in training, see which one you feel produced the best and was the most, and the most like, comfortable, and then go for that. That's what I would do.
Mm. is that the penultimate time we've seen Declan Rice in a West Ham shirt?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I'll talk more in my section, but you can tell at the end. I don't know how much the camera's focused on him or does at the game, but you can tell at the end he was emotional and he was trying to hold it together and stuff, because obviously there is one more game and he doesn't want to give away too much, because people were, you know, the other day, I thought it was, I don't know if you saw, but there was a newspaper article or an internet article on how they read his brother talking to David Moyes. But the funny thing is, you know, we've met his brothers, so we know which one's which. It started off with Jordan being the one talking to David Moyes and having his lips read, and then the article finished with saying how Connor does this, that, and the other. So they mixed the brothers up halfway through the article, which shows how much credibility that article had. But people are even analysing their lip language now. So I think Declan was conscious of that probably at the end. But yeah, I would be massively surprised if Declan Rice is the West Ham player next season.
I mean, I know on last week's show I said humour me whilst I was delusional in saying, can't we just keep hold of him? And I want to extend that debate somewhat, because really and truly, it comes down to who's going to, A, bid the money that we want, yeah, and B, fulfil his ambition. Because really and truly, unless it's Man City, you're taking a gamble.
Oh, yeah,
and that's absolutely true. I mean, yeah. if you're gonna walk away from everything you've built at West Ham, you have to guarantee yourself trophies. You have to. And you can only really get that at Man City, can't you, really? Because if you go Arsenal, there's no guarantee. If you go Liverpool, there's no guarantee. Go Man United, there's no guarantee. So why take that gamble unless it's someone like Man City? And unless Man City or Bayern Munich, and we talk about Bayern Munich, you know, how much credibility, how much sort of... I don't know. How much self-achievement would you feel clearing up in the Bundesliga? I don't know. It's a question.
As much as you would in England, surely.
Would you, though?
What, are you talking in the sense that Bayern Munich dominated, or are you talking in the sense that it's the German league?
In the sense that it's the German league, because it can't hold the same level of credibility that the Premier League holds.
Okay.
So, you know, surely in terms of, you know, if you're Declan Rice, and you're leaving West Ham and everything that's great at West Ham, and you're leaving purely because you want to retire, talking about the trophies you've won, surely those trophies have got to be in England. Surely they have. Because if you go to Germany, fair enough, Bayern Munich, you know, you win fucking trophies every season there. But how much of an achievement is that in comparison to what you could have won in the English league? And really, you're only going to win that with Man City in terms of guarantees, because Man City are fucking steamrolling everyone these days. But then you've got the argument, will Man City come in for him? And if they don't, where does that go? I mean, does he go to Bayern Munich? Does he go to Germany? And then will he retire with a smile on his face that, yes, I won the Bundesliga fucking seven times? Wow, fantastic. But how impressive is that really? In comparison to what he could win in England. Do you know what I mean?
And you're right. I mean, I think that, you know, we've made that point before that, you know, Man City are the only guarantee that you're probably, that you're going to win something. And even then, it's not a guarantee, because you, as an English player, you're always vulnerable to being sort of brought in and then shipped out at Manchester City, I find. But I think, yeah, Man City in terms of England are obviously the only real guarantee. But then I think the difference is, as well, with those teams, you're pretty, when you talk of Manchester United, Manchester City, Arsenal, maybe even Liverpool, is also Champions League football. Yes, that's not winning a trophy, but it's the chance to play Champions League football pretty much every season. And I think that's a massive sway as well. You're not going to get Champions League football at West Ham. Our best hope of ever getting Champions League football at West Ham, really. And I know we've come close a couple of times, is a one-off season or winning the Europa League. Whereas if you play for, you know, any of those teams you mentioned, then you've got a lot more of a chance. Same with Bayern Munich. I mean, mean, yes, you say they got you win the Bundesliga seven times, but they've got much more of a chance of winning the Champions League than most clubs. You know, they won it recently in the Champions League. They've been in Champions League finals numerous times. So yes, they would dominate Germany, but they'd also potentially dominate Europe as well. When you pick teams at the start of the season that you think could win the Champions League, you're never far off if you pick, you know, a couple of English teams. So let's just say, for argument's sake, this season, Manchester City and maybe Liverpool. I know they haven't done so well in the league, but this season. And then you pick Bayern Munich, you pick Real Madrid and Barcelona, possibly an Italian team, although that league's not as strong as it was, despite having two semi-finalists this year and obviously a finalist this year. But you'd say, you know, maybe Inter or Milan or Juventus, usually out of those, that league, and PSG. But Bayern Munich would be in that. So I think he's not guaranteed to win things, no. But let's be realistic, mate. He's a lot more likely to win something or play in the Champions League with any of those clubs. Manchester United won the League Cup already. They're in an FA Cup final. Manchester Arsenal finished second in the league. Probably should have won the league had they not mucked it up so badly. Liverpool will be better next year. Chelsea will be better next year. I just think, as much as we want to try and kid ourselves, as much as I, more than anyone, would love Declan to stay at this club, we can't compare West Ham to the likes of Chelsea, Manchester City, Manchester United, Arsenal, unfortunately.
I totally agree, and I'm trying to balance hope and realism here, because, you know, you make a very good point, and you are spot on in terms of, you know, no one can begrudge Declan leaving West Ham to try and further his career and to try and find those trophies that he so craves, right? But I don't know, X. I don't know. I look at his options.
Mate, the only thing that's going to stop it, sorry to interrupt you, is if the clubs don't pay the fee. That's the only thing. If West Ham say we want 120 million and no one comes in, I don't even think West Ham will say that much. I mean, they'll go for 100, maybe even 90. And a club doesn't pay it. That's the only thing that I can think would stop it.
Yeah, but even if they do, X, you know, again, I just look at it, and again, maybe I'm delusional. I don't know. I think about Declan Rice, and I just think, you know, you love West Ham. You proclaim to love West Ham, and you could potentially become an icon at West Ham, and you're the captain. All the points I made last week, and you're going to give that up, really, for no real guarantee of success, the success that you want. If you go to an Arsenal, Liverpool, Man United, that's my point. If you go to Man City, makes sense. If you go to Bayern Munich, you will win trophies. But do you want to win trophies in the Bundesliga in Germany? I don't know. It's a bit hazy for me, mate, to be honest.
He's still going to be a West Ham legend, whether he stays another season or leaves another season. He will still be a West Ham legend because of what he's given the club over all these years, particularly if he then lifts the conference trophy, our first trophy in, you know, 43 years, first European trophy, first final European final, 47 years, you know, first European trophy since 65. He's got 40-odd caps. So West Ham, as an England international, you know, I think there's only about three or four players that have got more than him. Bobby Moore being obvious one, probably Jeff Hurst, maybe Martin Peters, and I can't think of anyone else really, but he you know, he's going to be right up there as a West Ham legend. He go to one of these clubs, he'll win something at these clubs. He will, like, even if it's Man United, you know, as proven this season, or Arsenal or Liverpool, that they have more chance of winning things than West Ham. He'll improve his game even more because he'll be playing with better players. He'll play regularly in the Champions League where he'll stand out. And even then, if he plays for, say, I don't know, let's just say he goes to what, Arsenal? Yeah, if we're talking about them maybe being the worst of those options. If he plays really well for Arsenal for a couple of years, remember he's only 24 still. If he plays well for Arsenal for 2-3 years, whoever the best team in the world is, you know, when he's 27, 28. So we're talking the likes of, you know, you wouldn't guess it for the Champions League this season, but, you know, Real Madrid, Barcelona, Manchester City, or whatever, even if they don't sign in this window, will come in for him then because he'll be able to raise his game even more. As much, honestly, it, as much as I'd love Declan Rice to stay for us, and as much as I understand what people are trying to sort of say, I don't think West Ham fans can have it two ways. We spent all season moaning how shit we are in the league, and finishing 14th is terrible, and we should be winning the Conference League because it's Mickey Mouse and no one else in this competition. You know, we were the favourites from the start, so we should be winning it, and now we're thinking that we're big enough to keep Declan Rice. I just think it's not going to happen, sadly, and I don't wish to be the master of doom, because people that know me, I always try to be positive when it comes to West Ham. I don't want people to set their expectations that there's a chance he can stay. The only chance is if no one bids the money that West Ham are prepared to accept, and I think they will bid that money.
And how do you think he would deal with it if they didn't?
I think that would be an interesting situation. I think it'd be, if I don't like to say really, because I think it is in his head that he's moving on. Declan's very, very professional. So if in a worst case scenario he did stay at West Ham, I think he'd give it his all, and he would do what he's done every other season and play with his full heart. But you've got to remember, people were questioning him about his commitment to the club this season and his commitment as a captain this season. So if he stays another season, then people would question it even more. But he's Mr. Professional. He would still play as he's played every single week at the top of his game, but I think deep down there'd still be that burning desire, and the worst thing West Ham could do, we could arguably keep him one more season and then sell him, but his value will plummet massively. It's not my money, it's not your money, it's not people listening to this show's money, unless David Sullivan happens to be listening, but it's money that we then need to reinvest. And I've been told that our budget is very dependent on how much money we make from transfer sales this window. So if we're going to have any money, then we need to take it. I personally would love Declan to stay. I really would. Like today, I was really quite emotional, thinking this could be the last time I sort of see him in a, you know, an English ground as a West Ham player. But I think he'll come back as a West Ham player at some point anyway. I mean, he's 31, 32. He'll be back as a West Ham player, 33 maybe. But I think at the moment, I wouldn't place any money on him staying at West Ham at the moment.
No. And I agree with that, by the way. I'm just sort of thinking out loud in terms of what Dec's options are moving forward, because it's a massive time for him. It's a massive time. You know, it's a given, you know, with all the media speculation that he is going to leave. But, you know, I think what people need to look at is who's going to come in for him and what's best for Declan. Because, again, you look at everything collectively that's so good at West Ham, and you're potentially going to leave that for a club that isn't necessarily going to give you trophies.
Yeah,
unless
you've
got a Man City. And, you know, yes, Champions League football, great, until you get knocked out.
Yeah, but it's still better than not ever being in it. At the end of the day,
But is that so much more important next than everything he's got at West Ham?
Four, five, six
games in the Champions League.
But he'll be whatever club he goes to, because he's that good and he's that kind of character. He'll be loved by them. And what we're forgetting here is that he's not a West Ham fan. His family are not West Ham fans. He's not been brought up in, you know, loving the club like Mark Noble, for example, or Bobby Moore, maybe. You know, he loves West Ham. It's his family love West Ham, but it's not ingrained in them like it has been me, you, Mark Noble, whoever. For him, if he goes to Liverpool, Arsenal, Manchester United, Man City, he's going to be loved there. He will do. If their fans got any sense, and he performs to the standard he's set at West Ham. So it's not, so yeah, he'll still be a legend at West Ham. If Declan Rice leaves after the Conference final, having lifted that trophy, pretty certain there's very few West Ham and the fans that would begrudge him moving on to another club.
Of course.
So then he's got nothing to lose, because he's leaving West Ham as a legend anyway, and he'd be welcomed back with open arms. He's not going to do a Frank Lampard or a Jermaine Defoe or whatever and burn their bridges when they leave the club. He'll be welcomed back with open arms. The first game he plays at Southampton Park, then at London Stadium as an opposition player, he'll be given a hero's welcome. And I think the problem is as well, when you look at the England squad, he's in there and he goes, meets up the England players. He's one of the best players there. But they were all like, oh, yeah, we played, and the way it's like to play the Champions League, oh, yeah, we did this, oh, we played at Wembley, did this, and he can't join in. Even the likes of Harry Kane, you know, Harry Kane's been pretty much, you know, guaranteed a top six finish since he's been at Tottenham, or not this year, but previous years, he's got to a Champions League final with Tottenham. They've never won anything, but he's been in the Champions League regularly. He wants to leave Tottenham because that's, you know, that's not the high enough standard for him, and that applies to Declan Rice, unfortunately.
Okay, let's move on.
And I hate it.
It's such a sad discussion point because, you know, you just know he's going to go. And I just think, do you know what, mate? I just think the old romantic in me just thinks there's so much going for him at West Ham.
Of course there is.
About to potentially win a fucking European trophy. He talks about, you know, the club needs to show ambition. Fuck me. Winning a European trophy and then get qualifying, therefore, for the Europa League. And with a good group of lads around him, by the way. I just think, if only we could go back to the days of the one man clubs.
Of course, mate. But those days are long gone. I mean, you've got to think of it. You know, as I say, without meaning to make it personal to me, but I've known this guy since he was 14, 15. You know, I was talking about him on the show.
Philip Schofield.
Yeah, it's really be careful what I say. I'm about to dramatically resign and say it's still. There was no. Yeah, right, it wasn't appropriate, but it wasn't illegal. Oh, okay. Yeah.
And I'll claim I knew nothing about it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You put me off now. I've known his family, as have you. You know, we had him on the podcast to bring you down with me as well. We had him on the podcast. we had him on the podcast when he was like, you know, what, 18? Maybe 17, 18, I can't remember now, when he first broke into the squad. Yeah. I think he played against Burnley. I think it was just after playing against Burnley. So, you know, collectively we've seen his, as of all fans, seen his rise through the ranks. You know, we've been lucky enough, I spoke to his brother today at the game, you know, we've been lucky enough to see his family and stuff and get to know them and so on. And you know, I've never experienced that with West Ham players. I know a few West Ham players over the years, but I've always known them when they become when they're already West Ham players, if that makes sense. They've seen someone come through the academy and do that, and it's you know, it's massively sad for me. I'm a massive end of an era, as it is for all West Ham fans, and I would give anything for him not to leave West Ham. I found it really sad today, thinking this could be his last game for the club. You know, really sad. But I have to be a realist, and I think on this show I try to always balance the opinion to give people an opinion that is manageable to deal with. And unfortunately, in this situation, I've said before many years, many summers, Declan won't go this summer. There was a summer when Chelsea were linked with him, and I was getting trolled by Chelsea fans. He's going to leave. He's joining us. I said he won't leave this summer, but unfortunately, I can't say that about this summer because I'd be lying if I did.
Yeah, I know. Well, moving on. We finished the season in 14th place. How do you feel about that?
Fine. If we win the Conference League, yeah. it's so dependent on that. I mean, as I said to you at the start, or a couple of weeks ago, if you'd said to any West Ham fan, and I'm sorry, there'll be some going, nah, it's not good enough, but I'm sorry, you're lying to yourself if you're going to come back that response. If you'd said to any West Ham fan at the start of this season, West Ham will finish 14th, they'll be out of the relegation battle, you know. I mean, I know technically it was only like a week or so ago, but realistically it's been about 3 or 4 weeks. You'd be out of the relegation battle and you'll be focused on that final in the Conference League, and you'll win that final. You'll then go into the Europa League. Every West Ham fan would have taken that. Every West Ham fan would have taken that 100%. So if West Ham win the Conference League, I feel fine about it. If we don't win the Conference League and we finish 14th, I still can take it, because I think when we got to a European final, it doesn't look obviously nowhere near as impressive if we don't end up having a trophy at the end of it, but I still think it's tolerable for a European final at a minimum.
Yeah, I totally agree with that, actually. The big question, of course, is, are we going to win it, X?
I just can't tell you, mate. I just don't know. And the thing with finals, as you see in the playoff final yesterday, I don't know if you watched it, but like, I guess right, Luton were much better in the first half. Coventry were much better in the second half. Extra time was a pretty much dud thing. And then Luton scored 5 brilliant penalties. Coventry did 4 brilliant penalties. And then the guy that missed it ballooned it. And it came down to that one spot kick. And really, over the season, Luton were the better team because they finished higher in the league. But in that game, it went both ways. And it came down to the penalties. Penalties scare me. I think West Ham have done well in penalty shootouts recently. But you never want to come against Italian teams in penalty shootouts. And I just don't know, mate. I just don't know enough about Fiorentina. They seem to be such a random side. They're in like the Italian Cup final, which they lost. They're in the Europa Cup final, yet they sit mid-table in the league. And they've also got a couple of games to play before the Europa Conference League. That's worth noting. Their season hasn't finished yet. So they're still going to play a couple of league games. I don't know. I really don't know. I think it's going to be very, very tight. But I'm going to go with we're going to just about do it. Just.
Oh, God. I hope so. I mean, I've been speaking to so many West Ham fans about this and everyone's buzzing about Prague and I'm one of them. I'm absolutely buzzing for Prague. But I've got a bit of anxiety about it, I'll be honest.
I'm not overly confident, put it that way.
No, I'm not.
And I just have this horrible feeling that, and I just really hope West Ham fans can control it a bit because I'm not going to lie to you. I've found this season challenging myself as a fan and as a podcaster or whatever you want to call us because of the negativity and the extreme reactions of West Ham fans. I've even seen it today after a game when, you know, West Ham clearly did have their minds elsewhere, as did most clubs that are on this last day of the season. Man City lost away to Brentford. Liverpool drew 4-4 with Southampton. You know, you look across the league, there's teams with their minds elsewhere. I get on social media straight away and Moyes is being dug out and I just hope there's just not an absolute meltdown if we don't win the final. I suspect there will be. We just have to accept facts. We don't win it and then we have to sit down with the manager in the summer and make a big decision whether he's the right man for this club. We really do, but
yeah, go, sorry mate,
just, I just don't want another meltdown. This season has been spoilt in my, not spoilt, but has had an edge taken off it by just some of the extreme reactions that people have had this year. I just think, let's just put it into perspective. It's a European final. Yes, we should win it, but it is Fiorentina and no mugs. It can go either way.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
I think it's such a case of do or die, that final, because if we win it, David Moyes, and I will re-emphasise that, David Moyes and the players will be legends forever. And we will forever look back on that team. Regardless of who we played in the run-up to the final, that team that won that competition, 100%. If he doesn't win it, then I totally understand a negative reaction to it, 100%.
And
I'll be one of them. I'll be one of them because, you know, I've used this word before, and I know that you were taken aback by this, and you strongly disagreed, and you thought this was harsh. I think it'd be unforgivable if he doesn't win it. Because what worries me, X, is that he's taken what I feel is a top 6 team to 14th in the Premier League. Yes, we've stayed up. Fucking isn't that amazing, but we've stayed up, whatever. And now all attention goes to the final of the European competition. But the fact is, really, we're in that final because we ain't played no cunt. I mean, we've literally played the dog and duck from fucking every country going to be in that final. So if we don't win it with that opportunity we've been given, it's unforgivable because I still think we're better than Fiorentina. And, you know, yes, I know they've just played and lost a final to Inter Milan, but apparently someone tweeted me the other day saying that their run-up to that final was shit. Apparently, yeah, they had a really playable run-up to that.
People don't look into things properly. They didn't see the big team name, but they played, I can't remember who it was, Cremonese maybe, who had beaten Roma, who had beaten Napoli. I think it was Napoli pissed the league this year. Cremonese knocked them out, and then Fiorentina knocked them out, I think, or something like that. So people just don't look into the things as much before trying to form an argument on that. I'm sorry. And, you know, you said they played the dog and duck. You know, Alkmaar are 2 points behind Ajax. Had we played Ajax in the semi-final, would you be calling them a dog and duck team?
Yeah, but at the same time, mate, it's not the most respected league in the world, is it? You know, AZ Alkmaar, if I was to say to you, before this competition even started, and I was to say to you, name me some Dutch teams, Alkmaar wouldn't be one of them. And they wouldn't be one of them in a pretty irrelevant league in comparison to the European top leagues. So, yes, okay, they might be fourth, they might be third, they might be fifth. Who the fuck cares? You know, was you impressed with them when they came to London Stadium? Was you actually impressed with them when we went to their place? Because I thought they were bang average, and I think that's being complimentary, to be honest. And I would challenge you to say what's one team that we've played in this competition that you would genuinely, genuinely book as decent. Because I wouldn't even put Alkmaar in that. Personally, and listen, I don't want to sound like I'm fucking like moaning. We're in a European Cup final, amazing, brilliant, fucking fantastic. But I'm just talking to you about my concerns that we've got to a final based on a fact, and in my opinion, it's a fact we haven't played anyone. I mean, you name me one decent team we played in this competition this season.
You know, they're not the top teams, but that's why you're in the Conference League. You know, the Conference League doesn't have the top teams like the Champions League. It doesn't have the quality of the Europa League either, because that's why it's the third tier of the European competition, which is why West Ham, you know, are considered in that bracket. But actually, when you look at it, if you look at the league table, we're not in that bracket. Aston Villa are the team that qualified for the Conference League this year. So, you know, let's just see next year and the years going by. If the Conference League is this much of a piss-easy ride, then let's see how many English teams win it coming in the next few years. And that will say to us whether it's that easy or not.
Well, yeah, I can't see anyone else getting the same route to the final that we've had, to be honest. I mean, because this competition has had some great teams in it, and we've been lucky enough to have a fantastic route. And again, X, I'm trying to get the balancing act now between not discrediting the competition too much, but the competition within the competition has been incredibly favourable to West Ham this season. So I'm just saying, I'm not knocking it. But what I'm doing is I'm talking to you about my genuine concerns, because I think it can almost present a little bit of, not false hope, but I don't know if you know what I mean, in terms of we find ourselves in a final now, but not necessarily because we're incredibly great and David Moyes is this incredibly top-level manager, but because we've had an unbelievably fortunate route to the final. That's my point. And what I'm saying is, X, that's what worries me a little bit. You know, we've had a diabolical season domestically, and we are now in a final, fantastic, but we are there because we haven't played anyone. So actually, Fiorentina is the best team that we would have played, and I worry that we're not going to get it right on the night against them, because we are better than them. But is David Moyes the man, and please God he is, to motivate those players, tactically set up in the right way against those players, and bring that trophy home? I hope to God he is. Please God he is. And he'll be forever remembered as a legend. But if he's not, I'll repeat myself, it's unforgivable.
Unforgivable is such a strong word in a final. This is a 50-50 event.
Never get an opportunity like it again.
No,
like
but that's why Wigan beat Manchester City in cup finals. That's why West Ham beat Arsenal in the 1980 cup final. That's why Wimbledon beat Liverpool in the 1988 cup final, whatever it was. That's why Greece beat whoever they played in the Euro final and won that. It doesn't always go down.
So we've got to make sure that doesn't happen to us. We've got to make sure, because God knows when we'll get another opportunity like this.
Of course we've got to try and win it, and of course we've got to do our best to win it. But the word unforgivable implies that it never ever happens, that it never happens that the stronger team doesn't win a final. We're saying stronger team. I'm not even sure there's that much in it between West Ham and Fiorentina, but unforgivable implies that there's no way that team should have ever lost that final. You know, it's like you're talking about West Ham playing Leyton Orient in the final, or West Ham playing Take the FC in the final. They're playing a decent team in the final. So to say unforgivable is just too strong a word, in my opinion. It'd be disappointing and a major letdown, but not unforgivable.
It's almost like the England effect, I think. Because if you look at England in recent tournaments, you know, everyone's hailing Gareth Southgate as this incredible manager for getting to a semi-final and a final, or whatever he's done in recent times. You know, I'm not into international football. But actually, if you look at his route to that semi-final or that quarter-final or that final, whatever it may be, they're actually games that you should be expected to win. And yet, actually, when he comes to a game that's the first real test, he loses. And I'm worried that that is the type of thing that we're going to be faced with David Moyes. Because he hasn't had any tests yet. And it's on the back of finishing 14th in the Premier League with what I believe is a top six side. And that worries me.
It's a test to manage a team on a Thursday night in Cyprus, then come back and do a league game on the Sunday. You know, Jurgen Klopp, with a much bigger squad at Liverpool, has moaned and said that it's an issue for them. Other clubs that have had to play on Thursdays and then play on Sundays or whatever constantly say what an issue it is having to do that. And it's the same for West Ham. It doesn't matter who the opposition is. The opposition is still good enough. You know, Roma won the Conference League last year, yeah? Jose Mourinho's got a tattoo of that on his arm because he values it that much. And
I'm not knocking the competition, X. I'm not knocking the competition. That's why I'm so desperate to fucking win it. I'm not knocking the competition. I'm just saying how blessed we are to have the opportunity that in the run-up to the final, we've had teams that are just so inferior to West Ham that we're lucky enough to have them to get to the final. I'm not knocking the competition at all. You know, I'd love to win it. I absolutely love to win it. For me, it's a major trophy. Fuck me, I'm tempted to get a fucking tattoo on my arm myself if we win it. You know what I mean? I'm not knocking the competition. I'm knocking the competition within the competition, which is why we've got to the final.
Roma won won it last year, and they beat. I can't find something that would just give me a fucking very basic answer of what their route to the final was, so that we can compare. Because for some reason, it doesn't seem to. Hold on, this site might do it. This site might do it. So I wanted to see what their route was to the final. They played. Oh no, I just clicked to the wrong button. They played Feyenoord in the final. Right, so here we go. I've got the route now. Where's right? Oh no, this is this year. Oh, for God's sake, it's annoying. I wish you'd prepared this because I haven't got the right stuff with me. But they played Feyenoord in the final. Feyenoord played finished like 5 points above. Alkmaar, or 5 points above Alkmaar now. People don't say that that was a weak final. You know, Villarreal, who are a top Spanish team, Villarreal have won the competition loads of times. I mean, I don't know where they sit in the Liga at the moment. Let me have a quick look at that. La Liga, Spain.
You're talking about teams here of a decent level, though, X. I mean, even if you go to the Dutch League, which I'm not, I mean, Feyenoord, I mean, they carry more credibility than Alkmaar.
Right, well, they're only a few points above them. Villarreal are fifth in La Liga, and Elect, who apparently Mickey Mouse and Dog and Duck knocked them out of the Conference League. And Villarreal are fifth in Spain.
Well then that's an almighty fuck up on Villarreal's part. Never should have lost the game. That's a failure on their part.
But it shows that it happens.
Of course it happens, and it
shows that these teams aren't that far apart in the standards. You're making out as if these teams are like absolute Mickey Mouse. It's like the equivalent of playing a conference team. Almost, they're not. Obviously, they're not like West Ham. They're not Premier League standards, some of them. But if Alkmaar were in the Premier League, they'd probably be one of the worst teams. Yeah, but they're not like League Two teams. They're still a decent opposition.
Yeah, but I mean, how do you define decent? Because I mean,
a team that could beat West Ham if we didn't get it right, basically.
I don't know. Again, I'm just trying to stress that I'm not, you know, I'm not trying to be a negative Nancy on this. I'm just saying that you know, that's my only concern. I'm desperate to fucking win this competition. I really am, but I worry about Fiorentina because they're the best side that we've faced so far. I still think we're better than they are, but they are the best side we've faced. And I worry under David Moyes that we'll set up in the right way, approach the game in the right way, and win that competition. Because yeah, I don't know. In my mind, it's a 50-50. And you can argue any final is. I get that. I totally get that. And you talk about the domestic season as well, finishing 14th, and yes, a lot of teams have said they've struggled with it. But what I don't get is, why didn't we struggle with it last season? You know, we reached the semi-final. It was quite a grueling campaign, really. We finished 7th in the league.
Well,
so why didn't it affect us last season?
Well, that one we had less games because we skipped the qualifiers.
How many games less?
Yeah, not many, admittedly, but we still did have less, and we've had injuries. I can't remember going back to the injury situation last year. I remember Zuma had injuries last year as well, but you missed Agüero and Zuma for most of this season. You had Dawson, who through understandable reasons didn't want to play for the club anymore, and he had to manage that. You had Scamacca out for a long periods. Paqueta missed a bit of time. I think injuries got them. I think obviously second season of it as well, so it's a cumulative fatigue over that time. But the fact of the matter is, if West Ham win the Conference League, we'd have been in Europe 3 years in a row. That's never happened in our history. And I don't know why people were just trying to knock that success. Like, since when have we become so big when we haven't won anything to knock these successes? You know, we haven't won a cup for 43 years. We haven't won, you know, there's reasons for this. Not many clubs have won things. You know, yes, Leicester won the league and the FA Cup. Blackburn won the league when they spent all those millions. Wigan won the FA Cup once. You know, but these shocks don't happen very often. It's usually the same teams every year. Man City, Man United, Liverpool, Arsenal, like the Chelsea. Most years it's one of them, and we have the chance to break that mode and win a Conference League, and people are still trying to discredit everything that West Ham are doing.
I don't think it's a case of discrediting it as such. I think from my point, and you know this, X, because of historical debates that we've had, my point is and listen, come 7th of June, I'll hold my hands up and I could well be proven wrong, and please God I am. My concern has always been, is David Moyes the man that can win this Conference League? And I've never been sure of it. In fact, I've gone as far as to say I don't think he is. I think, you know, another manager that could have been appointed at the time might have been better placed to win it. Now, I could be wrong. If David Moyes beats Fiorentina, like I said, counts amount of times, he will go down as a legend at West Ham. He has to, as do the players. So that's the main thing. It's not a case of discrediting. It's more a case of a concern that when you look at his style of play, when you look at his setup, when you look at his negativity, when you look at his sort of, I don't know, history with coming up against certain teams, it's bottle it a bit. It just fills me with a bit of anxiety going into a cup final as to whether he'll win it. And we're in a cup final because we have played a load of shit.
Still think a load of shit's too strong.
Well, prove me wrong. Who have we played that you looked at and thought that's a good side there?
Oh, Anderlecht are no mugs. They're a decent Belgian team. What?
Were they fucking mid-table in the Belgium league when we played them?
They're having a bad season then, but they're, you know, you were talking about, I'm not allowed to say Alkmaar, who've had a good season. You said they're not a big name when you name a Dutch team. If you was to name a Belgian team, you'd say Anderlecht. They played West Ham in the 1976 final and beat us. So,
well, fuck me, mate, it's 1976.
Yeah, but I mean, this is what I mean, though. What are the parameters here? Like, at the end of the day,
I'm just judging them on how good they are now. When they come up against us, I've seen them with my own eyes. I saw them at the home leg, saw them at the away leg, saw Alkmaar in the home leg, saw them in the away leg. I didn't rate them. I didn't rate them before I even knew, you know, who they were in the footballing world in this day and age. And when I actually saw them with my own eyes, I looked at them, I thought, I don't rate them. I don't think there's anything special about them.
Okay, but then you know, you're saying that you rate Fiorentina, yeah?
Well, I didn't go that far. I said, you know, it would be our biggest test so far.
Okay,
but I still think we should be beating them.
Right, okay, but Fiorentina this season literally, took a 120th minute goal to beat Basel in the semi-final, something like that. So had Basel won that, and it'd be them, we're playing them in the final, would you be writing them off as Mickey Mouse as well?
Yeah, because they're fifth in the Swiss league.
Okay, but they almost beat Fiorentina. They were like a minute away
from it. What does that say about Fiorentina?
So then, now you're changing your mind, and Fiorentina are also shit. As
yeah,
well.
But you're saying it like I'm saying Fiorentina are fucking fantastic. I'm saying that I don't think they are. I don't think they are. I think they're the best team we've faced so far. But ultimately, we should be beating them. And the fact that they struggle so much against a team that's fifth in the league in Switzerland probably says more about them than it does Basel.
Okay, well, at the end of the day, if West Ham win a trophy, no one gives a shit about who we pay for.
And we agree on that. 100 million percent.
Okay, so I'd just rather just focus on West Ham trying to win a trophy and enjoying it, and also respecting the fact that West Ham have been in a European semi-final and a European final, regardless of who we played, that I never thought would ever happen in my lifetime as a West Ham fan. I've gone from a season ticket, my first ever season, as I said on that podcast with Martin the other day, not Martin Allen, Martin Gobbly Duck or whatever his name was. Godleman. Sorry, that's okay, because it's a bit disrespectful, but I'm a bit wound up now. So that
sorry, mate, I don't know why. I'm only trying to talk to you about my concern. I'm not trying to stir trouble. And
okay.
You know, I know West Ham fans this are going to say, fucking hell, Dave. Like, why can't you just enjoy the fact we're in the final? I am, believe me. You know.
But what I'm saying is, mate, my point is that I never thought I'd see West Ham in a European semi-final in my life, let alone the fact I've seen it 2 years in a row and I'm about to see West Ham in a final. If West Ham lose that final, yes, I'm going to be massively gutted, like I was in 2005 or 2006, 2006 FA Cup final. You know, I'm massively gutted about that, but I'm still grateful to Alan Pardew and those players that got us there. And I can actually remember the route to that final, but whereas, you know, with the other competitions, you can't. Whereas that, I know we played Norwich.
Great achievement to get to that final.
Yeah, we played Man City, we played Middlesbrough, and so on. So I can remember the teams we played there. And
their expectation wasn't to win that final, by the way.
No.
But we very nearly did. Again, we had a great go in 2006.
Yeah, exactly. So I can remember that. And so if West Ham win this trophy, amazing. If they don't win it, massively disappointing. However, I will still look back in years to come and think, wow, I can't believe I got to see West Ham in a European Cup final. There's not many West Ham fans, certainly, that can say that. And there's not many football fans that can say that. And I just don't know why. I'm not saying you necessarily, but West Ham fans, some West Ham fans want to just try and write this off as if it's not an achievement. At the end of the day, regardless of if we win or don't win that final, regardless of who we played, we got to a European final. If it was that easy, every club would be able to say they'd done it, but they can't. And so I think as West Ham fans, we need to enjoy this moment. Heaven, please, let us win this trophy. But if we don't, it is not meltdown, Central, West Ham is shit, Moyes is a cunt, all the usual stuff. It's a disappointment. And yes, we go to the summer and we assess the situation, as we do if he wins the damn trophy, because there's still question marks over him, like you've said, and I agree. But I just think for this time being, whatever happens in that final, just to get to a semi in a final, regardless of the opposition, is still an achievement, because you have to qualify for those trophies in the first place. That's the hardest part, finishing fifth or sixth or seventh in the league's the hard part. He did that as well, and then it's not like we just magically got put in these trophies.
Credit to him for that, by the way.
When we got under it under Slaven Bilic, we qualified through FIFA Fair Play. That's shit. And if that was a brand, that's why no one remembers it. Then we went out to FC Google, whatever their names were.
Disgraceful.
that's a ridiculous, but to get to the final series, just not. And I can't wait. And I can't wait to be in Prague. And I'm so grateful for David Moyes and these bunch of players for giving me the opportunity to be able to tell my kids and my grandkids, if I live that long, about West Ham being the European final.
Yeah, and it's going to be an amazing occasion for all West Ham fans. Every West Ham fan is absolutely buzzing. And please God, we win it. I think we should win it. And if we don't, massively disappointed. If we do, then David Moyes and the players go down as legends.
100%. Does David Moyes stay as manager next year?
No.
No, he still goes. Okay.
Yes.
Even though he's a legend.
Yeah, absolutely. He's a legend because you've got that emotional attachment to him because of what he's achieved for your football club. But if you look at it in football terms and in reality, I think there would be better options out there to take this football club forward. But we've had this discussion a million times.
In the interest of time,
I think we should move on. Because all the attention was on the Premier League today, which I understand. But what's more important than that, and arguably what's more important than the Conference League final, is the West Ham Way Premier League Predictions Competition. Now, going into the final day, there was just 80 points between me and X in my favour. The question on everyone's lips is, did Dave win for a fourth consecutive season and humiliate X in the process?
Did you? I don't know. Did you?
Well, you're about to find out.
Okay.
Or did X surprise everyone and make it 3-1?
I actually don't know the answer.
Well, I can now exclusively reveal...
Oh, I know what it's going to be, because you wouldn't be revealing this if I'd won it.
I know. But I'm a fair man. You know, I think you deserve the right to be bigged up as much as I do if I'd have won it.
How much did you win by then?
And, you know, there wasn't a lot going into the final day. So on that note, I can now exclusively reveal that when the full-time whistle blew around the grounds, X finished with a total of 3,042 points. And I finished with 3,211 points.
Well done.
Which means for a fourth consecutive season,
people have beaten X. This chat.
And I am the governor. X is a knob. And the reality is, it's now going to take X 5 years to overtake me overall in this competition. And in all honesty, I'll probably be dead by then anyway. Well, but even being dead, I'm not sure you would beat me, mate. So I know it's painful, but I have to come to you for your end of season comments, mate, because how do you feel about officially losing to me for a fourth consecutive season?
Well, obviously I've had no time to prepare these comments because I didn't look at it and really know that was happening or pay much attention to it. All I would say is that if you was to have asked me whether the prediction of West Ham staying up comfortably and getting to a Conference League final was going to come true, or absolute meltdown and West Ham getting relegated into sack boys and we're shit, blah, 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 was to come true, or I was to win the prediction.
We haven't won the Conference League yet, by the way. But yeah, go on, carry on.
And also to throw in that I also predicted that even Leicester or Crystal Palace would go down, and that not the managers that didn't change their manager loads, like Nottingham Forest and West Ham, wouldn't go down as well. If you was to take that all into account, or win the a spreadsheet, basically, which not many people play anyhow, I think I'd go with it myself, so I'm happy. You enjoy that moment, mate, and I look forward to your open-top bus parade of one person.
But X, we all know you don't mean that.
No, I do.
You would have swapped all of those kind of irrelevant things that you just mentioned to get one over on me in this competition for the first time in four years.
No, I wouldn't, because we wouldn't be playing it next year if I had. It's like the fantasy football. We played that once, I won.
You win this fucking fantasy football, I swear.
Yeah, because you won't play it. You won't play it. Exactly, because you don't win.
Fucking play fantasy football for the first 5 weeks and beat you.
And lost, eventually, but you don't, because you don't win. We don't play things that Dave doesn't win.
How have we gotten to fantasy football when we're talking about predictions?
Right, let's play our Capital City quiz now. We'll do that every week.
Oh, listen, listen, I've got no chance on that.
Exactly, so I will
give you that. You are the Capital City King. I mean, I've never met anyone like it, by the way.
Yeah, and that makes me sound like a complete geek. So I'm not sure I'm actually that happy with that. But
what do you mean? I'm trying to pick you up.
No, but listen, at the end of the day, I'd much rather have predicted that West Ham would stay up and get to Conference League final, and I did. So that's the one I'll take home with me. The problem is, I noticed. I had a quick look, admittedly, just then, and I just noticed. That to spy on the predictions that everyone can see that we do before the game about what the West Ham score is going to be. You know, we both predicted 1-1. Dave actually changed it and put 2-1 to Leicester, which was, so you're lying to our fan then. You're not predicting that.
I'm playing mind games with you. That's what
you're playing mind games with them. They're, these fans look at our predictions and trust us and put money on that.
Do you mean trust us? We're not the manager of West Ham United, are we? No, we're giving our thoughts and opinions.
But they listen to this podcast with full trust that when we give an opinion or a prediction, we mean it. You're just lying to people. Lying. You don't mean what you're saying.
But in the process, once again, correctly predicting a result. And that's why.
Because you predict West Ham negativity. If I enjoyed West Ham being shit so much, I would have won it. Because I always predict West Ham to either draw or win, no matter what, then I'm fucked, aren't I?
Well, I mean, that is very true. I mean, I will say that, you know, what was a real turning point in the season, I think, for me personally, I mean, what didn't do me any favours, as we know, was that I actually missed a whole week of predicting. That didn't do me any favours. That let you back through the cat flap, that did. But predicting a defeat away to Brentford correctly, done me the world of good. Predicting Man City Brighton 1-1, done me the world of good. And it set us up nicely for this. And the thing is, X, I've got to be honest, right? This was a real issue for me today because I thought, what is X going to do here? Because is he going to predict a West Ham win or is he going to predict a draw, which kind of makes sense, or is he actually going to go for broke? Because this was a sort of, you know, going into the final game, it was all or nothing for you. And I looked at it personally and thought, West Ham have got nothing to play for. We might rotate. Leicester have got everything to play for. The atmosphere is going to be rocking. They're going to be bang up for it. I actually thought that we would lose today, and we did.
I'm surprised
you didn't go with a loss.
If Saeed Benrahma hadn't hit the bar, a post, then it would have been a draw, as I said it was. Like,
if brothers a bird, it'd be my sister X, wouldn't he? You know,
I don't know, but like at the end of the day, no one cares. So let's just move on. Only you.
Well, listen, mate. I don't know how well this is going to be received on the back of what seems like quite a hostile attitude from yourself now.
I congratulated you. Well done.
But as it's the end of the competition, I have got a bit of a surprise for you.
Great.
One celebrity in particular has been keeping a close eye on this rivalry, and he joins us now. So a big hello to Chris Eubank. How are you? Hello? Yeah, Chris, you're live. You're live, mate. You're with us. Hello? Yeah, Chris, you're live, mate. What do you want to say to X?
Look, he's fallen asleep already because it's so boring.
X, are you there?
Yes, mate.
You are?
You sound like Dave then. We'll carry on.
X, in the field of combat, you go flesh on flesh. Steel on steel, heart against heart, intelligence against intelligence. But ultimately, there can only be one victor. And it's my understanding that Dave has now been that victor for four seasons in a row now. So my question to you, X, is, are you prepared to admit that Dave is indeed the superior human being?
A human being might be going a bit far, bro. Chris, I accept he might be able to put a few numbers into a spreadsheet better than me, yes.
Chris, are you still with us? Yes, I'm still with you. one more question, if I may. For X, are you still there?
Yes, mate, go on.
Well, will you be competing again next season? Because I'm thinking, surely not. Because why would you risk embarrassing yourself for what would be half a decade if you inevitably lose once again?
Well, Chris, it's a bit like you with Steve Collins. You know, when he battered you time and time and time again, you kept coming back for more because
I don't know why you've gone there.
You were contractually obliged to do it, as am I, because it's a stupid competition that we run every year that we do for prize money for the players, and we do it for a bit of fun for our patrons. Really, if we wanted to do a proper competition, we'd do fancy football, but we're not allowed it. So, no, I will be...
Nobody cares about fantasy football. You keep you keep talking about fantasy football to me. I don't care about fantasy football. And the thing is, X...
You sound like the snake out of Jungle Book. Rather than Chrissy Mac.
The thing is, X, you're talking to me like I'm some sort of cunt. Apologies
you
for
are.
The language I've used there, but I'm still a champion in my field. You are someone that has come second to Dave for the past four seasons. So, you know, I don't understand why you would want to degrade yourself by going again next season. I think if you want my advice, X, that I think you really should retire gracefully now and say, fuck this, I don't want to get beaten for a fifth year, because then we're talking about 6 years until you can overcome Dave. I mean, be honest with me now, X. Do you seriously see yourself beating Dave off next season?
I hope I never beat Dave off, to be honest with you. That's something I really wouldn't want to do. But in terms of the competition, I don't really care, mate, to be honest with you. Most of the time I forget to do it and let my kids do it for me anyway, so
That makes sense.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I shouldn't have admitted that because it seems bad sportsmanship to admit it now. But yeah, unfortunately, that's the case. And, you know, I don't really care what the outcome is at the end of the day. I've got a European semi-final to enjoy, Chris. European final even to enjoy. And I'm going to do that. Don't care about the predictions league, really.
I think we might have lost Chris there, but thanks for joining as well. I didn't really even know that he was a fan of the show, so it's great to have him on. And, you know, I think he was borderline a bit out of order there, X. I am sorry on his behalf, but, you know, you never know what you're going to get with live pre-recorded content. but it was great to hear from him.
It really wasn't. I think he's got better things to be doing with his time rather than worrying about a spreadsheet. Seriously, like, he's got his son's fight with Conor Benn. You know, he needs to sort that out. His son lost his last fight, didn't he, from memory, I think.
It's got a lot on his mind, so I think cut him a bit of slack. You know, he's obviously a bit
why is he focusing on a spreadsheet that we play then?
Well, I'm interested to know where this spreadsheet comes from. I mean,
because it is a spreadsheet.
I've not seen this spreadsheet that you.
Well, it's essentially a spreadsheet. That's what people call Football Manager if you do well at it. So, same theory applies. Really. I better take a little bit back. It's a great game. Look forward to the next season. All sign up. It's well worth playing. just ignore what I just said for the last 5 minutes.
Yeah. And, no, please do. Yeah, because you sold it really well there when it comes to the renewal of all the.
The stupid thing that's so annoying about it, right, is that I haven't actually done that bad again. I don't even know I know Cairo, the guy that makes it, put it in our group earlier, so I'll go into that. Let's have a look. I finished 80th.
Below Cairo as well, ultimately.
Which was that was a bit of a kick in the balls, to be fair. But I finished 80th, I think. looking at this. I don't know, I might be wrong, but 80th, which was actually only 14 positions, I think. I don't know, that's the week before, I don't know, but whatever it is, I finished in the top third, 100% again, which I've done every single year, except that, you know, you didn't even go to the game today, so you can sit at home and go make sure your predictions are spot on. So like, I just haven't got that dedication. I'd rather be at the match. You know, you were sitting there right up to 4:29 working out your scores. I bet. Bet you.
I love this, by the way.
That's why you didn't go to the game. It's all coming to you now.
Actually, it's the complete opposite, because there's been times when I've forgotten to predict. There's been games on a Friday night I forgot to predict. But who's the man that always predicts, never fails to predict? It's your man X. So actually, I'll turn the tables on that.
Anyway, moving on. Haven't we got a section still or something?
Well, either way, I will say it's been great to hear from Chris. And join us next week when we reveal the top five in this competition and the respective prizes. Okay, the domestic season might be done, but there's one more game you might be aware of taking place on the 7th of June. So for the last time this season, let's find out a little bit more about our opponents for the European Cup final. AFC Fiorentina were formed in 1898, but some years later actually dissolved as a football club, and the Fiorentina we know today was reformed in 1926. Fiorentina has won two Italian league titles in 1956 and again in 1969. They've also won six Coppa Italia trophies and one Supercoppa Italiana. On the European stage, Fiorentina won the UEFA Cup Winners' Cup in 1961 and lost the final 1 year later. Fiorentina were the first Italian team to reach the Champions League final back in 1957 when the competition was under a different name. They lost 2-0 to Real Madrid. Their nickname was Viola in reference to their distinctive purple colour. However, tradition has it that Fiorentina got their purple kit by mistake after an accident washing the old red and white colour kits in the river. On the 14th of July 2006, Fiorentina were relegated to Serie B due to their involvement in the Serie A match-fixing scandal and were given a 12-point penalty. Kurt Hamrin is their all-time leading goal scorer with 208 goals, followed by Gabriel Batistuta with just one goal less. The most enjoyable fact about Fiorentina is that on the 7th of June, they are going to win fuck all. Come on, you Irons!
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.